All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin. A beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Gimel. We are picking up on Lamed Beis, and we are picking up six lines up from the bottom. Afilu Amelech, Shoel B'Shlomo, Lo Yishiv. And those two dots, our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, Ed and Faith Wolf, for dedicating the shir in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Bas Avelvel, Bracha Strimber in memory of her husband, Avi Avram Ben Kamen Eliezer Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the family's a Nechama. We also thank our anonymous sponsor for the week of learning, in the merit of a Refua Shlema for Kamen Leib Ben Genendel MS, and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara, and Rabbi Mrs. Ziffer, for dedicating the learning this week in commemoration of the Arzit of Rabbi Ziffer's mother, Rachel Bas Meir Yehuda Leib HaKohen. We also thank Bennett Goldberg, Asha Pinchas, Ben Thegarezel, for dedicating the shir this morning in the Zuchus of Arafua Shalema for his surgery this morning. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all the neshamas will have an aliyah, the families a nechama, and all those who require a refuah will have one together with Kol Chol Yisrael. And also with that, let us begin. So the Mishnah said a dramatic statement. Afilu hamelech shoal b'shlamo lo yishivenu. Right? Even if the king, person's davening Shmona Esrei, even if the king asks you in the middle about how you are doing, one should not respond. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, this is only true if it's a Jewish king who's asking you, but for a Gentile king, who we would assume Rashi says will kill you, a Jewish king, the assumption is if he realizes that you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, he'll let you go. But ultimately, again, a Gentile king ultimately will not be as forgiving, and therefore if a Gentile king asks you, inquires about your welfare in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you absolutely should stop. Says the Gemara, Meisve Hamispalavara Anas Bakinegdo, Ra Karan Bakinegdo. So the Gemara brings a braisa that if one sees an Anas, Anas is someone who has the potential to hurt you, or Karon, or a wagon coming towards you, Lo Yehi Mafsik, don't stop your Shemona Esrei, Ela Mekatzer Va'ola, rather truncate. In other words, daven a little faster. It's a good piece of advice. You see a wagon coming towards you, daven a little bit faster. Expedite your Shemona Esrei. Suppose you see from here, then Halacha Lamayin say, you don't stop, right? Even in a case of Sakana. Come to that middle over between a wagon and the Anos is that these are cases of sakana. Yet you're not stopping, you're just accelerating. So both say, I says the Gemara, look, Hasha, how de'efshah, if you're able to go ahead and daven faster and essentially finish up Shemona Esrei before the sakana becomes imminent, then of course you do so. Obviously, again, when the Gemara said before that, for Malche Akum, you interrupt, that's when being Mekasra, that's when expedited Shemona Esrei is not possible. So the Gemara gives this, Gemara tells an incredible story. Tan Rabbanon, Maisei B'chassid Echashay Mispala Badarach. There was a story of a chassid who was davening on the road. Bosar Echav Benasash. So we'll say, so just to understand, the Gemara just created a very important paradigm here. So obviously, in any case of Sakana, one is permitted to interrupt Shemona Esrei. But however, if one is able to go to be Mekasra, or if one could just daven at an accelerated pace, therefore, finish up Shemona Esrei, albeit without Kavana, and not have to interrupt, that's certainly preferable. But of course, in any situation of imminent sakana, of course one is permitted to interrupt Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara tells the story. Turn around, Bonan. The story of a chassid was davening on the road. There was a certain sar, a certain minister who came along and gave him shalom. And the chassid did not interrupt his Shemona Esrei, therefore did not respond. So the sar waited until he finished Shemona Esrei. This was a non-Jewish sar. So the Gemara says, Amrle, Reika, Valo Kasa Besaraschem, Laki Shemona Chashma Nafshecha, Uksiv Nishmartim Ol Nafsho Seichem, Kishanasati Lecha Shalom, Lama Lo Achzarti Li Shalom. So the sar said, apparently this was a well-versed sar, it says in your Torah, be careful, guard your life. I gave you shalom. You should have responded shalom because now I have every right to im. If I were to cut off your head with a sword right now, would anybody claim your blood against? In other words, what the Sar was saying to the Jew is that you're liable to death, right? I greeted you. You should have interrupted your Shemona Esrei and responded to my greeting. Amarle, to which the Chassid said, if you don't mind, before you cut off my head, Do you mind if I try to appease you a little bit with words? Right? Can I explain to you my actions? Amar Lei, so the chassid said to the sar, Ilu ha'isi omi lifnei melech basar v'adam. Ilu ha'isa omi lifnei melech basar v'adam. Uba chavirecha v'nasan lecha shalom. Ha'isa tap of lamed gimel. Ha'isa machzulom. So now the chassid says to the sar, tell me, sir, if you were talking to the king and your friend came along and gave you shalom, would you go ahead and interrupt your conversation with the king to respond back to your friend? Amar Leilav, of course, the Tsar said, absolutely not. And tell me, my friend Tsar, if you were to interrupt your conversation with the king to talk to your friend, what would they do for you? What would they do to you? The king would cut off my head with a sword. So the chassid says, exactly. Amar Leilav, alo dvarm kalachomer. So says the chassid to the tsar, you, the mashal I gave you, you're talking to a human king who is alive today and tomorrow in the grave, and yet you would not have interrupted your conversation for a mundane one with your friend, because that would have been an affront to the king. Then all the more so me, who is speaking not just to a king, but to the eternal king, the king who endures forever, how could I possibly have interrupted my dialogue with him in order to respond to you? Miyad nispayis osa hasar, benifta osa chasal adeis ala shalom. Well, say in that moment again, the tsar said, good gezocht, right? Good job, right? Good job, right? I buy the argument, and he allowed the chassid ultimately again to go on to his home b'shalom. Rabbosai, so there's a lot of interesting conversation. The Marsha has an interesting conversation in this Gemara regarding how is it that the chassid was permitted to do this. And as Rabbosai, it was a general concept of ein somchin al hanes, and in general, again, the Gemara just told us that the halacha is that you're permitted to interrupt ultimately again for sakonas nefashas. Rabbosai, kind of goes back to what we saw in yesterday's daf as well. Chassidim exist on a different plane. It's the same way that we saw that the chassidim harishonim, they meditated for an hour before davening. They davened for an hour, and then they meditated for an hour after davening. So I'll say, if you do that 3 times a day, that's 9 hours a day in tefillah. So the Marsha says, so no, if you're davening 9 hours a day, right, what do you do about work? Right, a very mundane and practical question. What do you do about parnasa? So the Marsha says so beautifully, he says, I guess if you're a chassid and you're spending 9 hours a day in tefillah, you have some type of arrangement worked out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Somehow people who are able, the marshal, some people are able to pull this off, must have something worked out. Chassidim exist on a different plane. They just exist on a different level. Their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different level. So apparently this particular chassid ultimately again felt that his behavior was warranted under these circumstances. Good. Afilu nochash karav ala keva lo yafsik. Even if there is a snake wrapped around your ankle, you should not interrupt your shmona esri. I'm not sheshes lo shana ella nachash. This is only true if it's a snake. Aval akrav posek. Good, well, this is good to know, right? Snake, you shouldn't stop. Scorpion should stop. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rashi draws the distinction over here that apparently snakes don't automatically bite. Scorpions apparently will be more prone to proactively bite, but snakes will not. Meisve, but 1 second. Nafal gavarayos, eini idon lav shemes. But say, this is fascinating. If a man falls into a lion's pit, lion's den, so we know that halacha lamaisa, one aid is permitted to go ahead and give testimony that a woman's husband died in order to prevent any type of aguna situation. What happens if an aid echad sees a man fall into a lion pit? So I would have thought before I saw this Gemara, that's pretty solid that you can go back to his wife and tell him that he's in the Olama MS. So the Gemara says, no, actually it's not true. Even if you see a man fall into a lion pit, that's not incontrovertible evidence that he's dead. Why not? Rashi points out, because maybe he fell into a lion's den and the lions were just fed. And if the lions were just fed, ultimately they're not going to eat the guy. However, nafa lachafira malea nechashim v'akravim. But if a person fell into a pit that is filled with snakes and scorpions, mi'idin alav shemes. You can testify to his wife that he died. So you see here from what it's not just scorpions, but it's snakes as well. To which the Gemara says, shiny house in that case is different. When he falls into a pit, the agav itzitzam maski. So you must say, here's the difference. When you fall on top of snakes, and therefore you exert pressure upon them, then they will attack. Because under those circumstances, they feel attacked, and therefore they will attack. But under normal circumstances, apparently even if the snake is curled up around my ankle, lav dafka, that is imminent sakono. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. So we'll say, now that we started talking about that, we'll say, just understand, this is not halacha l'maisa. Right? If there's a snake around your ankle, chas v'shalom, we treat that as imminent sakana. The Gemara is talking about, again, obviously there was a different interaction between man and wildlife. People lived in much more rural settings to begin with. But l'maisa, again, the chashim akravim sakana. So we'll say, now that the Gemara started speaking about animals that pose a sakana, the Gemara goes, v'ayta. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, ra'a shvarim posek. If a person sees oxen, so apparently, again, an ox is considered to be a dangerous animal. Therefore, one should interrupt their Shemona Esrei as a result of this. Tana Boshia, Marchikim Mishortam Chamishimama. You should distance yourself from a short time. Now remember, a short time is a shor, is an ox that has never gored anyone. But even so, a shor is just considered to be a dangerous animal. Distance yourself from a short time, 50 amas. Umishor Muad, from a shor Muad, which is a shor that has gored before, Kimole Einav, as far as the eye can see. Tanam b'shved Rabbi Meir, reish tura b'tikula, salak le'igra v'shadi daga misusach. So this is amazing. Rabbi Meir said, even if you see the head of the ox, tikula literally means in its trough. Even if the ox is occupied eating, run up to the rooftop, kick down the ladder, take away the ladder in order to save yourself from the ox. Amr Shmuel, hani mili b'shor shachar b'yami nisan. Shmuel says, this is only true with black oxen, during the days of Nisan. Rashi points out, what's Nisan? Nisan is when the vegetation begins to resprout. So because that, the oxen are a bit more labadig. Literally translated, because ultimately, again, this because at that point, the Satan is dancing between its horns, meaning that apparently the oxen are even more prone to damage during that time. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Maise b'makom echad shaya arut, was an incredible Gemara. There was once an episode in a place that there was an arut. Now, there's a little bit of machlokes as to what exactly an arut is. Rashi says, arut is min hanachash v'hatzav ba, min hanachash v'hatzav. Now, I'm saying, nachash is a snake, tzav is a toad. So Rashi understands that it has some type of crossbreeding between a snake and a toad. Okay, so Shiniskakin Zemze. There was in other places in Shas, Arud is actually translated as a wild mule. So, okay, in any event, it was a dangerous animal. So, Maise b'makom echad shei Arud v'haya mazik es abrios. This Arud was posing a public danger and it was hurting people. They came with Rabbi Chanina Mendoza about the dangerous Arud. Amar lahem haru li es choro. So he said to them, show me its hole, which sounds like it's not really a donkey because it's something living in the ground. Okay, show me its hole. Haro es choro. They showed him the hole, the burrow where the animal was living. Nasan es akeva piachar. He placed his heel on top of the opening of the arud. Yatsa v'nashcho. The animal came out, bit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa on the heel. And what happens? Umes osa arud. And the arud died. The arud died. So Natla Ak Seifo. So he took the arud, placed it on his shoulder, Vavila base medrash, brought it to the base medrash. Amalahem, Ru'u Banai. See my children. Ein arud memis elahachit memis. It is not the arud that kills, but rather it is sin that kills. So Bichanina ben Dosa was saying is, Dosa, this is an incredible thing. The ability of the physical forces of the world to have shlita over us are fundamentally rooted in the state of a person's spirituality. That when a person is holding on a certain level in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to allow them to overcome certain powers of nature that at other times I could not. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, it ultimately, again, it's not the arud that kills, it's chet that kills. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, if you're on a certain level, you're able to overcome certain things. So also listen to this. Amru, they say, Ba'osa Shah Amru. At that point, they used to say, Oy lo la'adam shepaga ba'arud. Woe to the person who comes in contact with an arud. Right? And woe to the arud that meets Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Pretty incredible. I will say, says the Mishnah. So now we're going to get into a little bit of the halachos of Shmona Esrei, right? Again, don't worry, still beautiful. I got it ahead of us today. But I will say, we go ahead and we remember Gvuros Kesham. Now, Gvuros Kesham is Mashiv Haruach Umorit HaGeshem. So remember, again, that is not a bakasha, that is not a request, that is a statement, right? That's why I use Lashon of Maskirin. we remember the strength of the rain. Mashi v'racha morid ha-gashem. B'tchias ha-meisim. The bracha of tchias ha-meisim. Now we'll see why there. U'she'ila b'birkas ha-shanim. And Abba said, we make a request in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. That is, v'sein tal u'matar livracha. So the request is made in Baruch Aleinu. The statement is made in Tchias HaMesim. V'havdolah b'chonin adas. And we recite Havdolah as part of the bracha in Chorin. Das Rabbi Akiva omer bracha revius b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we say atah chonotano, or we say Havdolah as a separate, independent bracha. Fourth bracha. Rabbi Eliezer omer b'odah. Rabbi Eliezer says that, no, we say Havdolah where? Ultimately, again, in modim. So both I said three-way machlokes, ultimately about where we put Havdalah and Shmona Esrei. Tanakama telling us, Chonin Adas, Rabbi Akiva, separate independent bracha, and Rabbi Eliezer in modim. Says the Gemara, Maskirin Gvuros Kisham in my time. So we'll say, so why is it that we make mention? So we'll say, what's interesting about rain is as follows. There are two mentions, right? There's a mentioning of rain that's ultimately done where? That's done in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. That's Mashiv HaRuach HaMori Dagyashem. And then ultimately, again, there is the request for rain, which is done in Baruch Aleinu. So the Gemara says, why is it that we make mention of rain in Tchias HaMesim? In my time, Rav Yosef, mitoch sheshkula ki Tchias HaMesim, lefichach kavua b'Tchias HaMesim. Since Rabbi said the bringing of rain is equivalent ultimately again to the resurrection of the dead, to Tchias HaMesim. Therefore, we include it in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. So, obviously, we'll see this. The Gemara Maseches Tainis expounds on this concept dramatically. This goes back to the idea that there are different keys that are held in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, resurrection of the dead and rain being two of those keys. So therefore, again, because you see this commonality between, or this connection between rain and Tchias HaMesim, therefore rain is mentioned in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. So the Gemara says, "Shel Birchas Hashanah Maitaima." Why is it that we ask for rain in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu? Rav Yosef mitoch shehi parnasa, because rain is not just rain; rain is parnasa. Therefore, again, the fichach kavua bracha bebirkas parnasa. Therefore, Rabbi say we ask for rain in the bracha of Parnasa. Havdalah b'chonin adas my time. Why is it that we go ahead and we ask, why do we insert Havdalah in atachonin la'adam das, which is the bracha that we ask for wisdom? Rabbi say this is actually quite beautiful. My time, Rabbi Yosef, mitov shi chachma, kavua b'berchas chachma. Since Havdalah is chachma, since Havdalah is wisdom, therefore, we instituted in the bracha of wisdom. We'll say now, look at Rashi. Mitoch shi chachma, ha-chacham yodea la-havdil min kodesh l'chol u-mein tamei l'tar. We'll say, this is incredible. The ability to distinguish between that which is holy and that which is mundane requires wisdom. Right? They will say sometimes the most difficult things in life is to try to figure out what is holy, what is unholy, what is tamei, what is tahor, what's kasher, what's treif, what's good and what's not good. That's havdalah, the ability to distinguish between that which is good and that which is not good in life. Kodesh and chol. So therefore they put havdalah where? Ultimately, again, in the bracha of Chonin Adas. Pretty incredible. V'rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, now Rabbo say, the Rabbanan will say, mitoch shichol, lefichach kavua b'berchas chol. So we'll say, the Rabbanan, who agree that it's put in Atah Chonin La'adam Das, but will say that since Havdalah, ultimately, again, is a bracha associated with weekday Shmona Esrei, therefore, it's inserted in the first of the weekday brachos. Obviously, we don't say Atah Chonin La'adam Das on Shabbos and Yom Tov, therefore, Avdalah, which brings in the week, is put in the first of the weekday brachas. Am Rabbi Ami, Gedola Dea Shenitna Betchilas Bracha Shachol. Rabbi say, you see how important Dea. Now Dea is often translated either as wisdom or understanding. So we'll say, there are different words ultimately that are utilized for intellect. So here we'll go with the definition of understanding. You'll see why in just a moment. So Gedola Dea. Understanding is so important. Shenitna b'tchilas bracha shalcha. We'll say, how do I know that understanding is so important? Because it's the first bracha. Atachoni la'adam das is the first bracha that we have in the bracha shalcha, the first bakasha. So Rabbi Ami goes on and he says, Kedola de'a shenitna bein shtei osios. Wisdom or understanding is great because it is written between, it literally means two letters. What we're going to see it actually means is between two names of Hashem. Shene'emar, Kikel Deos Hashem. Suppose you see over here that Deos is written in between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kel and Hashem, which is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The Chomisha in Bodea, whoever does not possess understanding, Aser l'rachim alav. You should not have any compassion on him. Shene'emar kilo ambinoshu al kin lo yirachamenu oseyu. So, this is actually a pretty incredible idea. I'll tell you something. So, this idea of Gedola Dea Shenitna Bein Shtei Osios. So, there is a beautiful concept by the Tzafnas Paneach. The Tzafnas Paneach says, what's the symbolism of the fact that Dea is written ultimately between Kel and Hashem Yudkei Vavkei? Kel and Yudkei Vavkei represent the different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Din and Rachamim, justice and divine compassion. So the Tzafnas Paneach writes, I'll quote you, he says, Das Yamida HaMimutza'as Ben Yamin Usmo. People say, what is Dea? What is true understanding? True understanding manifests itself in the ability to find a middle road in life. To find ultimately, again, the pathway in between different things. Das Yamida HaMemutzas Ben Yamin Usmol. It's the ability to navigate in life between Rachamim and Din. This is what the Rambam says, that the goal in life ultimately again is to find the Derech HaMemutza, the middle path in life. That's Das. That's wisdom. It's easy to go to the extreme, right? Extremes are always easy. But the ability to carve out the middle path, the ability to find your way between Rachamim and Din, the ability to find the middle path in everything, that is the greatest manifestation of Das. Such an incredible insight. And therefore the Gemara says, what does it mean? When it says anyone who doesn't have Dea, Asur Rachim, this is incredible. You know, sometimes everyone has the opportunity to understand things in life. And everyone has the opportunity to go ahead and cultivate a sense of Dea and understanding and wisdom. If you go ahead and you make mistakes in life, as you're cultivating your understanding, that's forgivable. At a certain point in time, if I keep making the same mistakes, and I keep making the same missteps, and I keep remaining unwilling to learn new behaviors, new approaches, new drachim in life, asul rachim alam. No, I can't feel sorry for someone, nor can I feel sorry for myself, if I'm unwilling to adapt, change, and become better. So many times in life, Rabosai, we go ahead and we keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. And then we say, woe is me, look at my lot, look at my plight, I can't believe this is happening. Can't believe it's happening. If you're unwilling to adapt, if you're unwilling to change, if you're unwilling to modify, if you're unwilling to have Dea, if you're unwilling to plot for yourself a brand new middle path, you can't. No one feels bad for you, and you shouldn't feel bad for yourself, because the reason you're in this spot is because you're refusing to evolve. An incredible insight on Dea, the Gemara says. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Belazar, Gadol Mikdash Nasa Mishtei Osios. Similarly, again, greatest of Eis HaMikdash, as it was given between, it is positioned between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneimar Palta Hashem Mikdash Hashem. Amar Belazar, Ka'adam Sheish Bo Dea, any person who possesses understanding, Kilo Nivna Beis HaMikdash Biyamav, such a beautiful idea. It's as if the Beis HaMikdash has been built during his days. So the Gemara says, Dea Nitna Bein Shtei Osios, first of the widest lines, Mikdash Nitna San Bein Shtei Osios, Maskif Rav Acha Kar Chino'o, Ela Me'ate Gidola Nekamash Nitna Bein Shtei Osios, Ay Nekama, vengeance, is also mentioned between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shene'emar, Kel Mekamos Hashem, Amrle'in, Bemilsei Miha Gidolihi. It is true, vengeance, when taking against the nations of the world, is actually a great thing. V'hainu da'amr'ula, Shtei Nekamos Halalos Halalu, Lama, Achas L'tova V'achas L'ra. There are two different times of both sides that Nekama is mentioned in between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is for good and one is not so good. So L'tova Dechsif Hofia Mehar Paran. So we'll say the pasuk that says Hofia Mehar Paran. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come for Har Paran. So Har Paran is a reference ultimately again to Har Sinai. So it's from Har Sinai that the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out against the nations of the world. L'ra Dechsif Kel Nekamos Hashem Kel Nekamos Sofia. So we'll say, so there is a Nekama that is good and there is a Nekama that is bad. The Nekama that is taken against Klal Yisrael is not good. The Nekama that is taken against the nations of the world is good. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Of Rabbi Kiva Omer Bracha Revius. Rabbi Kiva holds that Atachonantanu is a separate, independent bracha unto itself. Omer Rav Shman Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Michti, Anshe Knes HaGadol, Tiknol Ani Yisrael, Brachos Utfilos Kedushas Vavdalos, Nichsi Heichon Tikun. So as the Gemara has a good shayla, Why is there a machlokis about the placement of Ata Chanan Tanu? Let's just simply look. Remember, Ata Chanan Tanu, it was instituted by Anshik and Sagdol, the men of the Great Assembly. Let's just see where they placed it. In other words, this is not rocket science. Let's just figure it out. We don't have to guess. Let's look at what the original institution of Havdol and Shmona Esrei was. Where did they place it? So we'll say, this is actually quite amazing. Amalei, betchila kavua betchila. See, here's why there's ambiguity. Not ambiguity, but machlokis. In the beginning, Havdalah was only in Tefillah. Right? That's all. There was only Atah Chanan Tanu Shmona Esrei. That's all there was. Heshiru, people became wealthier. Kavua alakos. They decided to, you know what? Let's not make Havdalah in davening. So they removed it from davening and instituted it as a stand-alone bracha on a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, He'anu, then people became poor again. Chazra v'kavua b'tfila. They put it back into davening. And at that point, Rabbi says, interestingly enough, at that point, they stopped varying the model. And essentially what they said is as follows. Amru, hamavdil b'tfila tzarek shi'avde alakos. So we'll say, so therefore at that point in time when they put it back into Shmona Esrei, they made a conscious decision to leave it in Shmona Esrei. This way, no matter what the financial circumstances of the klal were, you recite Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, and if you have the means to do so, you recite it on a cup of wine as well. It's my nami, Amrav Chibar, Abba Amrav Yochanan, Anshik Nezakadola, Tiknu Lahem Yisrael, Brachos, Tfilos, Kidushos, Vahavdalos. So we'll say similar to Rabbi Yochanan says, the men of the Great Assembly, we'll remember again, Anshik Nezakadola was the primary rabbinic body in the aftermath of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. I mean, they were around already by the first Beis HaMikdash time, but they are the ones who instituted Tefillah as we have it. Much of these institutions came again during First Temple era, post-First Temple era. So they instituted Brachas, Tefillos, Kiddushos, Havdalos. So Betchila Kavua Betfila, in the beginning Havdalah was just recited in davening, and that's all. Hayashiru Kavua Lakos, people became wealthier. They instituted it as a standalone bracha on a cup of wine. Chazru Veha'anu, then people became poor again. Kavua Betfila, they put it back into davening. And Abosai again, at that point in time, decided to forever leave it in davening. Vehim Amru, but nevertheless they said, I'm Avdu Betfila, Sarek Shiyavdu Alakos, that even though one makes Havdalah in davening, one goes ahead and still makes it again on a cup of wine. So you see something very interesting, which is the original concept of Havdalah was one or the other. Either it was in Shmona Esrei or it was on a cup of wine. By the time we come to the second iteration of the Takana is you always say it in Shmona Esrei, and if possible, you always say it on a cup of wine as well. If Marnami Rabbi Rav Yosef Demer Tarvayu, Hamavdu B'tfilah Tzarek Shiyavdu Alakos. Rabbi Rav Yosef also agree that if you make Havdalah in davening, you must also go ahead and make it again on a cup of wine. Amar Rava, umosvinan ashmaitin, ta v'lo hiskir gvuras gisham mitchias ameisim. So we learned elsewhere that what? If a person made a mistake and did not mention mashiv racha mori dagashem, sheila berchas hashanim, or you forgot the same talamat livracha, machzirin also. You have to go back in Shmona Esrei. But if you've omit Atachonam Tanu, you don't have to go back. Why? Because you can say it on a cup of wine. Nabo said, the Gemara is bothered by this, because can say it on a cup of wine sounds like what? You can, if you want to, but you don't have to. But yet, that's not what we just said before. We just said before that halacha lemaisa. By the time we come to the second round of this takana, what are you doing? You're dafka saying it both in Shmona Esrei and on a cup of wine, to which the Gemara says, Ela'ima mipnei sha'omra alakos. No. Don't say because you can say it on a cup of wine. Rather, what? Say because you are saying it on a cup of wine. Itmar nami on Rabbi Yom Bayafis, Sha'rabi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Betzidon, Varmir Rabbi Shem ben Yaakov de Minsur, Es Rabbi Yochanan, Va'ana Shamis, Hamavdu betfila, Sarech shi'avdu alakos olo. So also they asked the following shayla, if a person may said, Selatachan Antanu, do you have to still recite Havdalah on a cup of wine or not? And he answered, yes, even if you made Havdalah in davening, you must still make Havdalah again on a cup of wine. Rabbi said, of course, we know that is how we pass in halacha lemaisa. Ibayluhu, hamavdil alakos, mashi yavdil betfila. Rabbi said, very interesting. What about the reverse, right? Let's say you're davening Ma'ariv later for whatever the reason. You made Havdalah alakos first. Do you still go ahead and recite Atah Chanan Tanu in Shmona Esrei? Interesting shayla. Amar Nachman by Yitzchak, kavachomer mitfila. We make a kavachomer from tfila. How so? Uma tfila de ikar takan tehi arme amavdo betfila tzar shav de alakos. Rabbi say, listen to this. Everyone agrees that the ikar takana of havdala was where? Was in tfila. Rabbi say, how do we know that? We know that because that was the original takana, right? The original takana of Havdalah was that you recite Havdalah in Shmona Esrei. It was only when they became wealthier that they pulled it out of Shmona Esrei, put it ala kos, became impoverished, put it back in tefillah, left it in tefillah. So Rabbi says, so therefore again, the ikar, so kavachomer tefillah mat tefillah, the ikar takan tehi, army amavdil tefillah tzarek shavdalko. So Rabbi says, if the ikar havdalah is in tefillah, and yet we still say that if you make havdalah in tefillah, you still make it alakos. Hamavdil alakos, the lav ikar takan tehi, lo kol shekin. And certainly if one makes havdalah alakos, which is not the ikar takana, of course you still have to go back and say it in Shmona Esrei. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Tani Rab Acha Aricha Kamei Rab Chinna Hamavdul Betfila Meshubach Yoser Mishamavdul Alakos. So we'll say so. Therefore, again, so we'll say. So by the way, Taloka is that even if you made Avdalah Alakos, you would still recite Atachon Antanu in Shmona Esrei. That's how Shulchan Aruch Paskins. So we'll say. So the Gemara goes on. He says Hamavdul Betfila Meshubach Yoser Mishayavdul Alakos. Someone makes Avdalah ultimately in Shmona Esrei is even better than one who makes Havdalah ala kos. Vim hivdol bazu bazu, yanuchu lo brachas harashon. If you make Havdalah on both of them, brachas should be showered upon your head. So Gemara says, one second. Hagufa kasha. Amr tam avdol betfila meshubach yosim mishin hivdol ala kos. Ama tfila lechuda sagi. So say, on one hand, you tell me that if you make tfilah, if you said Havdalah ala tfilah, that's enough. Which, I'm sorry, that is meshubach, that is praiseworthy. Which sounds like that reciting atacharan donor shmona esrei is enough. Then afterwards he said, but if you make Havdalah in both of them, bracha should be showered upon your head. But if at the end of the day all I need is one, then ultimately again, once I made Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, why should I make a second Havdalah ala kos? Doesn't that become a bracha shinetzich, an unnecessary bracha? Both say if one goes in and makes an unnecessary bracha, one is in violation of the second of the Ten Commandments of not taking Hashem's name in vain. To which the Gemara says, Ela ima hachim hivdil bazu, v'lo hivdil bazu, yanuchu lo brachos harosho. Rather, I will say, read according to this version, that ultimately, again, if one says Havdalah in one, and doesn't recite the other one, yanuchu lo brachos harosho. So we'll say, in this alternate version, what you begin to see is that there's another opinion that says, all you need is one Havdalah, and once you did one of them, you no longer require the other. Okay, so we'll say, so Ba'minir of Chisman of Sheshes, Tabuzo Bazo Mao. What happens if you made a mistake with both of them? So we'll say, so what now? What does that mean? So if you'll see what it means, we'll see a little bit later in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Tabuzo Bazo Mao, Amarle, Tabuzo Bazo Chosel Rosh. If you made a mistake in both of them, i.e., omitted both Havdalahs, so we'll say, in this case over here, what ended up happening is you damaged runs without Atachalantanu, and you also forgot to make Havdalah ala kos. In that case, Chos al Rosh, you would have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. Amadeis, Amar li Ravina le Rava, Hilchos Samai, what's the halacha? Amar le Kikidish. Just like my Kiddush Rabbah says, as much as we say Kiddush Shmona Esrei, you still go back and make Kiddush ala kos. So too by Havdalah, even though you made Havdalah in Tfilah, you go back and you make Havdalah ala kos. And Rabbah says, that is indeed the halacha lamaisa. We recite Kid Havdalah both in Shmona Esrei, as well as on a cup of wine. Halacha lemaisa, if you omit Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, there is no obligation to go ahead and go back. That's the basic halacha. If you went ahead and you did Havdalah out of order, you made Havdalah ala kos before you daven Ma'ariv, you would still insert Atachon Antanu in Shmona Esrei even after Havdalah ala kos. But of course, it goes without saying, whenever you omit Atachon Antanu, ultimately again, one is not chayiv to go back. Rabbi Eliezer on Bahoda. Below says you insert Atachon Antanu in modim. Rabbi Zera Havarachiv Chamra. Rabbi Zera was riding on a donkey. Havakashakil va'azil Rabbi Chiya bar Abin Basrei. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abin was walking behind him. Amar le vaday de'amrisim mishved Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'yom tov shechalios achar Shabbos. So is it true what they say? That the halacha definitely in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer on Yom Tov that falls on Matzei Shabbos. So we'll say, when you have a situation of Yom Tov that falls on Matzei Shabbos, so this is Rabbi Chiya is saying to Rabbi Eliezer that Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, namely, that we recite Havdalah in Modim. A very specific circumstance, that when Yom Tov falls out on Matzei Shabbos, so you have to insert Havdalah into that Shmona Esrei, that's when we follow Rabbi Eliezer, that you insert Havdalah in Modim. Amar le'in, he said, yes, that is true. In Halacha Mechlal, the Plegin, I was saying, the fact that we say that Halacha falls Rabbi Eliezer, in that specific circumstance of Yom Tov that falls out on Matzei Shabbos, sounds like someone is arguing on that. So the Gemara says, "V'lo pligi." Is that true? No one argues. V'ha pligi. V'ha pligi Rabbanon. Right? The Rabbanon do argue. Remember, we'll say, what did the Rabbanon say? The Rabbanon said that halacha l'maisa, you recite atachon antanu in atachoni la'adam das. Right? Not in hodah. So the Gemara says, no. Emar the pligi Rabbanon b'shayim el sashana. So when did the Rabbanon argue Rabbi Eliezer? That's only true during the rest of the year, i.e., when you're davening a regular weekday shmona esrei. The Rabbanon will say that you insert atachon antanu into Atachoni la'adam das. However, b'yom tov shechal yosachar haShabbos mipligi, would they argue on a case of yom tov that falls on Matzei Shabbos? V'apal Rabbi Akiva. What about Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Havdalah is a bracha revius b'fnei atzma. It's its own separate bracha. Atu kol hashana mi'avdin Rabbi Akiva, dahashtu neko v'navid kavaseh. Oh, we're supposed to say, we don't have to bring up Rabbi Akiva. Why? The rest of the year, already we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we don't make Havdalah like its own separate bracha that we have to bring up Peshitta over here, to which the Gemara says, Kol HaShana Kula, my time with Abdin Rabbi Akiva. We'll say, why is it in general that we do not pass like Rabbi Akiva and make Havdalah its own independent bracha? For one simple reason, the Tamni Sari Tikun Tish Sari Lo Tikun. Chazal instituted in Shmona Esrei 18 brachas, they did not institute 19 brachas. And Rabbi Akiva's model, Rabbi Akiva is asking that on Matzei Shabbos there be a 19th bracha. So I don't understand, they can say the same thing over here. So the Gemara says, therefore we'll say the same thing over here. Hacha nami shav tikun tamni lo tikun. Therefore, so too over here, Abosai, when it comes to Yom Tov that falls out on Matzei Shabbos, Chazal only instituted 7 brachas, not 8. Amar lei lav halacha itmar. So he said to him, Amar lei lav halacha itmar, ela matin itmar. So it's actually quite interesting. So the Gemara says, you're right. The truth is, we're not saying that the halacha ultimately follows like Rabbi Eliezer, right? Rather, matin itmar. But say matin means we lean towards the opinion ultimately of Rabbi Eliezer. And both say, what's the chilik between halacha and matin? Halacha means we'll teach it publicly that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. Matin means we won't teach it publicly, but if anyone asks a specific shayla, that's how we paskin, that on Yom Tov that falls out on Matzei Shabbos, we'll put Havdalah in Modim. Itmar, so the Gemara says, the Itmar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Ar Mishon Rabbeinu, halacha, varmalei matin. Some say the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, others say matin. We'll lean in that direction. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Modim, Rabbi Chiya Abba Amar Nirin. Amar Rabbi Zera, Nakat Rabbi Chiya Biyadech, Didaik V'gamar Shmaitei Mipumei Dimara. Shapir Kerachba, So what you see over here is as follows. You see that halacha l'maisa, they seem to be all agreeing that the halacha in practice follows Rabbi Eliezer. That a Yom Tov that falls out on Matzei Shabbos will go ahead and will insert Havdalah into Modim. The machlokes seems to be, is it that halacha l'maisa will paskin this way publicly? Or that, no, we're not going to pass him publicly, but if someone asks an individual shayla, we'll tell them that's how to conduct themselves. So we'll say in this last part, it says over here, the itmar, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdim, Shon Rabbeinu halacha, formerly matrim, Rabbi Yochanan amar modim, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar nirin. So we'll say, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says nirin. Nirin, we'll say, is the same idea. Nirin means, it appears that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. Are we going to teach this in a concrete way publicly? No, but that seems to be the way the halacha follows. So we'll say, Amr Abizira. Abizira says, Nakut Rabbi Chiya bar Abba biyadech. You could kind of take Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's psak halacha to the bank, right? That seems to be pretty solid. Why? The daik v'gamar shmeisa mipumei demara shapir kirachva de pumpadisa. Shabbos, because Rabbi Chiya was very meticulous. Ultimately, again, to listen to the words of his Rebbe and to get precise instruction from his Rebbe, just like Rachba did in Pompadisa. What did Rachba do in Pompadisa? Dam Rachba Amr Rabbi Yehuda Harabayis Stav Kafel Haya Vayestav Lifnim Mistav. So, Bosei, this has nothing to do with our topic. What this has to do over here, Bosei, is that on the Harabayis, on the Temple Mount, there were a bunch of benches, covered benches. These covered benches were there, ultimately, again, to protect people from rain. So, here you have. So what's happening over here is that Rachba is saying over this ruling in the name of his Rebbe. And it's quoting the exact verbiage of his Rebbe as well. His Rebbe said, Stav. And I will say, Stav in this context means benches. The normal word for benches is not Stav. The normal word for benches is Itztaba. But yet Rachba is using the same verbiage as his Rebbe, using the same wording as his Rebbe, not calling it Stav, but ultimately calling it Itztaba. So the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Chiya was just as medayik in his wording as Rachba was. Therefore, again, we should go with the ruling of Rabbi Chiya. So we'll say, how does this again? Am Rabbi Yosef, Ana, lo hayadana v'lo hayadana. The truth is, I don't know what any of you guys are talking about. Right? But rather, here's what I do know. Ela midravu shmo yadana. I do know what Rav and Shmuel say. Because what do Rav and Shmuel say? Ditakinu lan marganisa bebavel. They will say, here was the following pearl that they went ahead and they made in Bavel. They will say, what was the following idea that they made in Bavel? Vatodiinu Hashem alakin. They will say, in Bavel, here was the Havdalah that they coined. Vatodiinu Hashem alakinu mishpatei tzidkecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have taught us. Mishpatei tzidkecha. Ultimately, again, literally, the judgments of your tzedek, right? Your righteous judgments. You've taught us to go ahead and fulfill the pathways of your will. So what do you see over here? Says the Gemara that you come along and comes along and Rabbi Yosef and says, I don't know about Rabbi Eliezer. I don't know about ultimately again Matin, Modin, Halacha. All I know is that in Babel they came up with the following wording, the following text for Havdalah, and this is what they say. And I will say, amazingly enough, if it looks familiar, it's because this is what we say on Yom Tov that falls out on Matzei Shabbos. This is the form of Havdalah that we add in. Rashi says over here, Vatodini, it's the right-hand column of Rashi, Vatodini, Lomar, now back to the left-hand column, Bemakom vatitein lanu uchishiagia ben kiddush Shabbos kiddush as Yom Tov hivdalta v'kiddashas amcha Yisrael kiddush asecha yomar vatitein. So we'll say we recite this right between Ata bechartanu and vatitein lanu. So we insert. So we'll say, so at the end of the day, we do not paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, right? We do not go ahead and place it in modim. We obviously don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We never paskin like Rabbi Akiva in this context, right? We never create a separate bracha ultimately again for Havdalah. Normally we will assert Havdalah in Atachoni La Adam Das, but of course when you're going from Shabbos and Yom Tov, there is no Atachoni La Adam Das. Therefore, what do we do? We'll say, same model. Just like Atachoni La Adam Das means, we insert Havdalah into the first bracha of Shmona, sorry, outside of the first three, right? The first three are a unit. We insert it in the first middle bracha of Shmona Esrei. We do the same thing when Yom Tov falls out on Matzei Shabbos. Also, we recite Atah Bechartanu, that paragraph, then Vatodienu, and then go into Vatitilan. And I will say, that is indeed Halacha L'maisa. Mishnah. Bosi and I will begin, at least begin this today. Beautiful, beautiful sugya. Homra Kansibra Girachamecha. If the chazan decides to ad lib a little bit, right? And what does he say? He adds in, he says, Akansibra Girachamecha. Hashem, on the wings of the bird, your compassion should come. Va'altov Yizachar Shmecha. And for good tidings, your name should be remembered. Modim, modim. He says modim, modim. Meaning he says modim twice. Mishaskin also. We'll say for all of these things, we go in and we silence the shliach tzibur. we silence him. Bishlam modim modim mishaskinos mishu the mesek ishterishios. So I understand the Chazan says modim modim. We silence him. Why? Because it looks like he's praying to two different gods. So the Gemara says va'al tov yizachar shimcha. And similarly again, if a Chazan says and for good things your name should be remembered. Nami mashma alatov alara. First of the widest sound of both says sounds like what? We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we're saying that God is responsible for the good things and not for the negative things. And yet that's not true. Why? Utnan. Chayiv adam levarech ala ra, kishem shemevarech ala tova. We'll say a person is obligated to go ahead and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which appears to be negative, for the same way that we bless him for that which appears to be good. It was an incredible yisod. Probably one of the most fundamental cornerstones in our Emunas Hashem. The same way that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for all that is Tov, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for all that appears to be Ra, all that appears to be negative. And the same way we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Tov, so that we have to thank Him ultimately for the Ra. Ella, Al Kan Tzibar Agir Achamecha Mai Taima. I will say, what's wrong with saying, right? If I say on the wings of birds, so remember again, that statement is rooted in the midst of Kansipur, right? That's what's happening over here. That a person essentially is saying is, the Simei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take Rachmanis on the mother bird, and you command us to send it away, ultimately before taking the young. So that's the illusion. On the wings of birds, your kindness comes. So what's wrong with that statement? So the Gemara says, my time, pligi ba chema rabbi ma'arava. So that I'm a cholkis in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi bar Av and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. So we'll say one opinion says, because you are creating animosity amongst the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at Rashi, left hand column, about halfway down. So it's very nice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you should send away the mother bird, right? What about the mothers of other animals, right? Why is there no such rachamim by other animals? So ultimately you're creating tension between the various creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making it look like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more rachamim on one animal than the next. The Chad Amar, Mepnei She'osa Midosa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim Ve'inan Ela Gzeiros. And about the other opinion says, because what you are doing is you are ascribing attributes, or you're ascribing meaning to divine mitzvos which are to be treated as gifts. And Rabbi Yossi, all the Torah tells us is to send away the mother bird. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to send away the mother bird? So if a person says, Akansipi Agir Rachamecha, what they're doing is, they are infusing their own understanding of the mitzvah. Oh, it must be because God is telling me to be compassionate on the mother bird. That's why, meanwhile, our approach to mitzvahs is what? It's gzeros. Why do we send away the mother bird? Why do we send away the mother bird? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to send away the mother bird. Rabbi say, if it was truly about compassion, I have something even more compassionate, which is, don't take the eggs, right? Leave it alone, right? If it's all about compassion, just leave the nest intact, leave it alone. Says the Gemara, when it comes to Mitzvahs, Rabbi say, we'll stop over here for a time, we're going to have to pick up with this Sugya Meretz Hashem. When it comes to Mitzvahs, the Gemara says, we do things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do things. The moment you start ascribing reasons to Mitzvahs is the moment, ultimately, again, you are superimposing your intellect and understanding on divine decrees, and that erodes the fundamental Kiddusha of Mitzvahs. We perform Mitzvahs, ultimately, again, because they are the gezeros, the decrees of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'll pick up with this topic in Meretz Hashem tomorrow morning.